Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? You know who it is. It's your boy, PDP, coming to you live on Soul Radio, on the Blog Talk Radio Network, bringing you the word on the street. You know what I'm saying? It's today's Monday. Hopefully, everybody's out there having a great day. It's a new week, which means it is new challenge. You know what I'm saying? As you just heard right there, that's my co-host, my co-partner. Part into this world. His name is Quaid. He's on the street with Pete and Quaid. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if there's a will, there's a way. I'm not letting my son or letting a child come in between my way and pursue my dreams. We're going to do them together. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. This is your boy, PDP, bringing you the word on the streets. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you go tune in live at soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. That's soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. That's if you want to stay inspired. Listen to some great music. If you're going to go work out, that's the best. I'm telling you, I just worked out the other day, ran a couple miles, and just put it on my station. I can tell you one thing, that's the best station to put it on. I'm not saying that just because it's mine. I'm saying it because I know what you want to listen to. You know what I'm saying? But let's get into the word on the street. Man, word on the street is, Big Sean. Big Sean actually posted on IG, which is Instagram for you guys who don't know. He posted a picture of Ariana saying, "I give her the D." You give her the D? Well, a lot of people think you know what the D is. Come on now, then it's a picture of Ariana Grande. But word on the street. Word on the street is that her father commented and said, "You better be talking about Detroit." And I'm just like, what? Now that's what I'm talking about. Kanye West actually commented saying that's the best post ever, because he just got a new daughter himself called Northwest with Kim Kardashian, you know, and so I just think that's pretty ironic, that's pretty funny, but I know, and that's the thing about being a celebrity, you post that stuff just to get people thinking, just to get people, like, use their imaginations, you know what I mean? So I think that was a great tactic by Big Sean. But just the fact that Ariana Grande's father said, you better be talking about Big Sean. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all the fathers out there with little girls, because you already know, most girls don't even know what it feels like to have a man love them unconditionally. They only know what it feels like from a man who's trying to get in their drawers, you know what I'm saying? So, shout out to Ariana Grande's father. Continue being a good man, and don't let no dude come in between you, you know what I'm saying? So, also the word on the street is a 23-year-old shot and killed by St. Louis County police after his mom called for help. Come on now. Like, when is it gonna stop? And also, I'm bringing you the word on the street from News1.com. Also, just so you guys know, if you guys want to go check it out for yourself. And it also says that another black mother calls the police to help defuse the situation with her child. Another black life ended by them on Friday night. Two St. Louis County police officers shot and killed a 23-year-old Thaddeus McCorrell after he reportedly came out of his mother's home with a knife and Bible in his hands. Woo. That's right. One man armed with a knife in the book posed a threat to an entire tactical operations unit and was shot not by one but by two officers after a whole entire hour of negotiation. And it's not like he had a gun. This dude, let me keep going. It says NBC News reports that McCurl's mother initially called the police because her son locked her out of the house, but he allegedly buried inside with several knives and samurai swords. Also, the news outlet reports hat police released by body cam video from the confrontation in the St. Louis suburbs of Jennings hours after the incident. In a statement released by the police on Saturday, St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar said police feared for their safety and had no option but to use deadly force against a young man who spoke of going on a journey as well as Black Revolution. The officers, this says the NBC News reports, the officers resorted to less lethal force to try and bring the incident to a safe conclusion with no loss of life, but the individual made the decision to refuse these attempts and charge at officers with a deadly weapon, said the statement. After approximately 1 hour of negotiations, the subject excited the residents armed with a knife in one hand and a Bible in the other, according to police. Officers then tried to get McCurl to drop the knife, firing a less lethal round at him in an attempt to disarm him and ordering him to speak with them without holding the knife, but that didn't work, police said. The subject immediately charged the officers at a full round with the knife still in hand, police added. Fearing for their safety, two officers shot multiple times. Get out of here. Somebody chasing you with a knife, and you going to pull a gun out of you, police. That's what you're trained to do. But, hey, you know what I mean? That's just the word on the street. You know what I'm saying? I can't believe it. But let's talk about that for a minute, man. I studied to be a cop. My major is criminal justice. In criminal justice, they teach you, you know, fight force with force. You know what I'm saying? Fight force with force. If they have a knife, then you have the right to pull out a knife. If you have a gun, you have the right to pull out the gun. But you know what I'm saying? You just kind of maneuver your way out of each situation. Because just like I said, like I think last week, if you're scared to play football, if you're playing football, you're scared to get hit. You're going to go out there and get hurt. You know what I'm saying? So just vice versa. If you're a police officer and you're scared to get hurt, you're going to end up hurting somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So you just gotta be tough and really be careful, you know, and be also be thankful. Also, be thankful for the job that you have and understand the responsibility that comes along with that job. And that's really like the best part about, you know, recognizing and things like that. But a lot of people, though, they just see black and white. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, this is a black dude, black guy, white cop. Woo, woo, woo. First of all cops aren't bad. All black people aren't bad. All white people aren't prejudiced. All, you know what I mean, all stuff. And it's crazy how people start to say that most of these black kids now ain't got no dads. But, hey, Trayvon Martin had a father. Everybody else had a father. Man, I can't even think of his name, man. Trayvon Martin. And, golly, I can't even think of his name. I'm not having a brain for it. But it was actually his father in a riot, you know, that happened down in Ferguson that kind of ignited all the riots. It's sad. It's honestly sad. But you know what? It really is what it is, you know what I'm saying? And it's really no one's fault. Everything happens for a reason. Just give it all to God, and for that family of this, you know, not to call the police. But you know, you call the police, shoot, just like in a couple, you know, you really don't want to be with that girl. You guys get into it, just like a couple. She gonna call the police on you. That's the number one. Well, you got to get rid of her because at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, it's the police ain't there to take. Well, they say they ain't there to take them on side, but hey. You know, that's not really how it all comes down, you know what I mean? But anyway, if you're just tuning in, this is The Word on the Street with your boy, Petey Pete, live on Soar Radio. You know what I'm saying? You can go to my website, go to soareveryday.com, or tune in to my online station, soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. That's soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. And no matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. So, it's Monday, and I'm calling it Monday, Move Out the Way Monday. You know what I'm saying? If you got a hater to move out, if you got a hater, if you got your parents or whoever it is, it's not really about your dream, just simply tell them to move out the way. and just stay motivated. And one thing too, if you are on that right path and you're growing, and you are going moving towards your purpose and things like that, if you don't feel like you want to quit sometimes, then maybe you're not doing the right thing. And don't just be in it for 1 month, 2 months, or maybe 6 months. Keep continuing what you're doing. I did read somewhere you have to give your dream 7 years. If you're really serious about your dream, you got to give your dream 7 years. And then if you're still not going in the right direction or you haven't moved, then you haven't moved and in a continuous direction, then, hey, maybe it's time to find something else. Part of the reason, one of the ways to be successful is knowing when to move on to something. You know what I'm saying? You must know when to move on from something, because you can't just keep going and keep going and then keep getting the same results. They say to do something you ain't never done, to get something you ain't never got, you must do something that you has not ever done. So with that being said, on the air, I just got Mr. Stephen Ivy. You there, man?
Yes, sir.
What's up, man? You doing all right?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Just enjoying this nice weather. How's the weather down in Arkansas?
It's pretty nice today. I haven't been outside yet. I'm trying to do a little house keeping and cleaning. But, man, it looks nice outside, so I'm probably going to go out probably here in the next hour or so.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I haven't been outside either. I'm just looking out the window. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to let you get the flow so you can G-O.
Hey, so, man, I like what you're talking about as far as about your dreams. Because I wanted to talk today about patience, all right? Patience. And I love how you said, you know, any dream that you're wanting to pursue, it takes about 7 years to do it or even yield some results or and all of that kind of stuff. One of the definitions that I found for patience is it's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Man, that changes the whole definition for me for patience. There's another one that says patience is the state of endurance under difficult circumstances, which can mean persevering in the face of delay, provocation, without acting on negative annoyance or anger, or exhibiting forbearance when under strain, especially faced with long-term difficulties. Patience is a level of endurance one can take before negativity. You know, you look at patience, and man, I love how you was talking about that, because it just runs right along side with what I wanted to talk about, man, is one of the things I'm going to start doing probably in the next 2 weeks or so, man, I'm going to start this thing called Lessons from FedEx. In the morning, about 3:30, 3:15 every morning, 3:15, 3:30 every morning, I wake up Tuesday through Saturday, rather, to go to my job at FedEx. I have to be there as early as 4 o'clock. In the morning, and so I'm at FedEx from 4, moving packages. All of you guys that are ordering packages, especially for those in Arkansas and the local area that I'm in, I'm moving packages, and the specific truck I work on is what's called a Walmart return truck. And so here in Arkansas, the Northwest Arkansas is what they call it, the spot that I live in, Walmart headquarters is here. And so, I mean, it's just a huge area as far as business is concerned and all of that. So, of course, Walmart has warehouses and stuff like that. And so from all over the country, if somebody orders something and it's broken, there's a defect, if they get it online, they ship it back here to Walmart, to the Walmart Returns warehouse. And so I handle those boxes, or sometimes they can give it to the store, and the store in return ships it here, and again it goes through FedEx, and so I'm messing with those boxes. And so anyway, being there at FedEx has taught me a lot. Every morning it teaches me something about leadership or about life, man. As a preacher, I've learned from older preachers that everything can become a sermon, everything can become a lesson. And so it's one of the things I've learned at FedEx is patience. Because when you're working, now this truck that I work in a 4-hour time frame, I get on average 500 to 600 boxes a day. I have to scan and I have to load into a semi trailer or a 18-wheeler trailer. And so 500 to 600 packages, and it's one man normally, unless I'm just getting blown away, and then they'll send me help for like 10-15 minutes sometimes. So loading this truck, what happens, man, is on average every day I'm getting blown out. There's probably not one day that I don't at some point just have boxes stacked up and just crazy, more than I can deal with at one time, because I mean the flow is just constant. And one of the things that I learned when I first got there and had to do that job is I would start. One of my leads told me, man, don't freak out. Just get it done. As soon as you can, as quick as you can, don't freak out. And I've learned that lesson since I've been working on that. It used to be I'd see them packages start piling up, and I'd try to hurry up and do my job and get them scanned, because I have to scan them with two different scanners and then send them down a belt and go load it in the truck. And I would be trying to hurry up, and I learned moving fast caused me to do nothing but make more errors. Mm. So now I have a motto, because I've learned that no matter how fast or slow I move, by the end of the day, by the time FedEx wants us done, those boxes are going to be scanned and they're going to be stacked. And so my resolve has been now, man, just be patient. Don't overexert yourself, because it's going to happen. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, it's going to happen. What they want me to do, which is scan and stack those boxes, is going to happen. And what I've learned is the more, I'm not a slowpoke with it, but the more slow and the more attention I give to just doing my job and handling that one package that's in front of me, the better I do my job on a daily basis. And that's the same thing with life. Whatever you're doing, Pete, they tell me in music that it takes at least 10 years of you being in the music industry, putting out CDs, doing stuff, making your name and your face available for 10 years to have some type of longevity in the music world. And we know it's all kinds of people that get out there, that get their name out there, and they'll be a one-hit wonder, and they'll have one or two CDs, and then you don't hear from them. But most people that are where they are, you look at somebody like Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin has been around for a long time. He went from doing choirs, very traditional type music, to now just being a trailblazer for everything that gospel music is. But it took time and it took patience. And so I'm saying that to whoever is out there, man, whatever your dreams are, patience is being able to do it, endure it, not give up, without showing any sign of negativity or annoyance. And so, yeah, it might be taking longer than what you initially thought, whatever you're trying to do would take. But, man, keep going. Keep moving. And eventually it's going to happen. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, there's no way that doing the right thing won't lend you the right results. It's an equation. You do the right things will come. Now, you'll have to battle through pitfalls and hurdles and bad things, but at the end of the day, if you keep going, it's kind of like I said with my favorite scripture, don't be weary in well doing, because in the right time, in the right season, you'll reap if you don't faint. So be patient, no matter how long it has to be patient, and one day you'll realize all of your dreams.
Oh man, that's what's up, Mr. Ivy, right there. You say be patient, and you'll be able to, you say you'll be able to pursue all your dreams?
Realize.
Oh, realize. Okay. Man, it just happened. Like, when you said that, yours was a story, and you said you're going to start doing what, like the FedEx Confessions? What is it called?
Lessons from FedEx.
Lessons from FedEx. Man, hey, that's actually pretty cool, because I can only imagine seeing those boxes. It's almost like you on the side. It's almost like, you know how we would warm up before football games, right?
And then we're
warming up. You got offense and defense. And then the other team is warming up on the other side of the field. It's like when you see, it's almost like the David and Goliath. You know, you look over there, you're like, oh, these dudes is big. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like you get outside of yourself and you think that you have to move faster. You feel like you have to change something up, but ultimately you just have to keep doing what you're doing. But I just want to share this story with you real quick, Mr. Ivy, before I let you go, because your lessons from FedEx actually just brought back a memory of when I think I said something on the show a few weeks ago about me being a server. And Cheddar's I want to say last year, man, so much has changed just within this last year, man. Like, if I could really get into it, boy, if I could tell you, like, I'm telling you, man, it's just crazy. But anyways, I was a server at Cheddar's, and first off, I was working for the bank. I ended up going to the, figuring out getting another job at Cheddar's because I need some extra cash flow. So then I love my job at Cheddar's, so I progressed from being a server to I worked in the kitchen. So I don't know, have you ever ate at Cheddar's?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Cheddar's got some pretty good food on it.
Yeah.
I know, man. It's been like a food for minorities. But anyways, whenever I was in the kitchen, I was what you call the expo. The expo is like the captain of the kitchen. Once the server put in the order, this machine prints out a ticket. Once it prints out a ticket, my job as the expo is to read the ticket efficiently. Like if somebody order a steak medium with extra seasoning, or somebody order a burger, extra onions, no cheese, or somebody got a pasta Alfredo with no Alfredo, or whatever it is, you know, or somebody like no seasoning on my chicken, whatever it is, I have to be the quarterback or the coordinator of the kitchen and make sure everybody. First of all, I got to make sure I read the ticket off right. Then I got to make sure I pass the message on. So, like, hey, you got that queso, you got that steak, you know, then I got to talk to the grill person, you got that steak over there, then I got to talk to the boil person over there, cooking the fish and all this. You know, I'm talking to everybody. But working at Cheddar's, you know, Cheddar, just from being, like, if you ever been there, you know that place can get busy. So just imagine.
Right.
It's lunchtime, all those tickets just boom, 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 boom. And you know you have to get their food out accordingly, and not only accordingly, you got to get it out right. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't understand, like, once you work in the kitchen, the presentation, yeah, because if your food come out looking all crazy, you ain't going to need it. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be like, nah, I ain't going to want that. What's going to affect the server, then it's going to eventually affect the business. You see what I'm saying? So when you say you use that FedEx, looking at and all those boxes will pull up, will pile up, and you notice the more faster you got, the more mistakes you will make. And I made the same mistake being an expo at Cheddar's, but my manager just sent me over to the side and was just like, you know what, Pete? He was like, I see you working fast, but let me tell you something. You always have time to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's my whole point right there. You always have time to do the right thing, no matter, just like Avi was saying, no matter how far the boxes may go, or you can put it on how deep you get in debt, or how them bills keep piling up. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I think who you are determines on who you are during your hard times. Because a lot of people turn to selling drugs, a lot of people turn into dudes, whatever it is, right? You know, just so they can feed their family. But I'm just like, so what am I supposed to do if I'm trying to feed my son and still be right? And it's like, you are who you are during your hard times. So no matter what you're going through, there's always time to do the right thing. You don't have to, like, sell your soul to some other people or do something that you not feel comfortable about just so you can feed your family. Just continue to be patient. So that's what's up, Ms. Ivy. I just had to share that with you, too, man. It goes hand in hand. Be patient because it's always time to do the right thing.
Yes, sir.
Well, all right, Ms. Ivy, it's been my pleasure. You said you got the music. Send me your music, man. You can email it to me. However you want to get it to me, so I can put it on my radio station, store every day that I listen to my radio.com, especially I can play it on Sundays. You know, I got a little gospel hour. Then the recruit with Adrian Reese, you know, that's strictly spiritual and stuff like that. And so I'm going to go ahead and put it on the station so we can get it out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All righty, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow, bro.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, cool.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was Mr. Stephen Ivey, Reverend, straight up out of the Arkansas area. Go to SoarEveryday.com and read up. And once you go to SoarEveryday.com, go to On Air. Once you go to On Air, then you can go have a picture of him and Adrian Reese so you can get a visual to the face, get a visual with the voice and all that. And I have their journeys on there and stuff. And you can not only look at them, but you can see what they've gone through and how they've progressed. And Stephen Ivey just got married. Adrian Reese just got engaged. I'm married already. So there's just awesome things coming with Soar Radio, coming with Soar. We're just some minority brothers out here trying to make a way. You know what I'm saying? But also, if you're just not tuning in, this is Word on the Street, which is what we do on Soar Radio. You know what I'm saying? Also, the Word on the Street is this outlet. Wiki Leaks revealed that the actor Ben Affleck asked his ancestor slave owning past be scrubbed from the program Finding Your Roots, and apparently it was. So I can't really blame. I wouldn't want that stuff out if I was Affleck. But Affleck asked that the slave owning detail be edited out of Finding Your Roots, a show which traces the ancestry of prominent Americans. And helmed by executive producer Henry Louis Gates, who solicited advice from a Sony executive on how to handle Affleck's ask. Okay. The news reports that the Gates suggested that the censoring this type of information could tarnish their branding if word got out. But Sony chief Michael Linton said something like that, to the A-lister if possible. All right. We've never had anyone ever try to censor or edit what we found. He's a megastar. What do we do? Wrote Gates as reported by the news. Linden responded, I would take it out if no one knows, but if it gets out that you're editing the material based on the kind of sensitivity that it, then it gets tricky. So what they're saying is no one knows about it. Hey, go ahead and edit it and take it out. But it says on Friday, Gates released a statement defending the decision, which below in full. The mission of Finding Your Roots is to find and share interesting stories from our celebrity guests, ancestries, and use the stories to unlock new ways to learn about our past. We are very grateful to all of our guests for allowing us into their personal lives and have told members of stories in the series, including many about slave ancestors. Never shine away from the chapters of family's past that might have been unpleasant. Ultimately, I maintain editorial control on all my projects and with my producers decide what we will make for the most compelling program. In the case of Mr. Affleck, we focused on what we felt were the most interesting aspects of his ancestry, including the Revolutionary War, a third great-grandfather who was an occult enthusiast, and his mother who marched for civil rights during the Freedom Summer of 1964. Yeah, that's the word on the street. I can't blame Ben Affleck. You know, you never understand what you come from. But, hey, when it's involved in negativity and stuff like that, I really don't blame him because that could be the way his folks think, but that don't mean the way he thinks them. That may be the way that he was, but that's just not the way that he is. Okay, that's the word on the street, which is what Pretty Pete live on Soul Radio. Now it's time to get back to the music. So just like that, I hope everybody have a blessed day. It's Move Out the Way Monday. You know what I'm saying? If you got a hater, go ahead and tell them to move out the way. Go ahead and go to my website, SoarEveryday.com, or go to my music page, SoarEveryday.listentomyradio.com. That's SoarEveryday.listentomyradio.com. You just now witnessed the word on the street, which is your boy Pretty Pete.